It's time for our Law Matters show again, brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia in Perth. Really enjoying talking to you all and letting you know about some of the services that are provided by the ALS and bringing along our staff so you can find out more about the work that we do, some of the people behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, all over the place, and today is no exception. Coming up in the program a little bit later, what support is offered for our young people on the inside? Well, the fantastic news is that in the last 6 months, there's been some newly created positions at the Aboriginal Legal Service through the Law and Advocacy Unit, which is seeing more prisoner support officers and, in particular, for our young people, an incarcerated juvenile support worker. We'll be having a chat with Tamara Gillespie a little later in the program about her role and why it is so important that our young people have support. We're also going to meet a young woman who started with the ALS a couple of years ago as a clerk and in the mailroom and doing a lot of clerical duties, who then became a court officer and is now just finished the first year of her law degree at the University of Western Australia, which is absolutely huge. Lashay Eggington joining us on the program today. And we'll go to Narrogin. We won't physically go there, but we will meet Robin Ninyet, who is a lawyer working with the Aboriginal Legal Service, got a long association with the ALS as well, working in the civil unit, working in native title in the previous years when ALS used to do native title work as well. And she's one of our senior management team, and she'll be joining us to have a little bit of a chat today. But to kick off, we're going to get creative and get artistic, because in the 1st of December edition of the Courier Mail on page 38, we'll give it a shameless plug, there's a fantastic story on the Moorditch mural launch. Now, we have talked about this a little bit in previous programs here on Law Matters. The Moorditch mural was a joint initiative between the David Wirrupunda Foundation, the Central Institute of Technology and the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. And it basically involved students who were studying through the Solid Futures program to research the history of the ALS and put those ideas and that information onto a beautiful mural that was launched on the 1st of November. Two of those students join us on the program today, and it's significant not only to talk to these two people, but they're also actually now employed by the Aboriginal Legal Service. So welcome to the program, Jolene Farrell. Hi, Jolene. How are you going?
Hello.
And Jack Callion. Hi, Jack.
How you going?
I'm good.
I'm good too, thanks.
Hey, on the 1st of November, you two were there at the ALS when we officially unveiled the mural. It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
You worked with the other students at the Solid Futures program in creating this mural. Jack, maybe if you can just start telling us how the actual process began and how you commenced work when you were still studying there.
Well, first of all, we all came into the Aboriginal Legal Centre and had a meeting with the people that worked there, and they told us what was expected and a little bit of the history, and then we went back and to TAFE and we did our own research and then decided what we were going to put down on the painting. And then each week we spent half a day doing it, and it came together well, I think.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, I imagine there'd be a lot of Callions listening in. Tell us about yourself and your own background, Jack, where you're from.
Oh, I'm from Balga. I went to Balga High School, grew up in Balga, moved to 2J for a few years after I've had a few kids. I've got six to get all up. Five with my partner now, one with someone else, and came back to Perth, and I was the stay-at-home dad, and decided my kids are getting a bit older, so I needed to do something to get into work, so I thought I'd try and study. Found out about the David Wirrupunda Foundation, went there, did what I needed to do to get in there, and then was accepted into the program, and I'm still going good.
Every Thursday morning, you guys would transform that classroom into an art room.
Yeah, and Peter Farmer came in and helped us. Great, he's a great man.
How exciting was it watching it all come together from, you know, you said first coming into the ALS and hearing from the staff about what does the ALS do, what's its origins, you know, what are some of the historical events that have happened in the last 36 years since it began,
yeah,
to actually go through with an artist, you know, of the calibre of Peter Farmer, who's absolutely incredible.
Yep.
Tell us about the process of actually going from the books and from the websites into to making that art come to life.
Well, we had to decide if we were going to do a time frame or if we were going to go another way, but we went with the time frame. Then we had to decide what part from what time we were going to put down on the painting, and it came together really good. I thought it looked spectacular, but when we was like first starting it, I didn't think much of it. But then in the end, I can't take my eyes off it sometimes when I look at it.
Yeah, it's certainly incredible. It's hanging up in the boardroom of the Aboriginal Legal Services head office in Perth. Jolene, you were a participant of the Solid Futures course as well. How did you enjoy it out there?
It was good, yeah.
And had you been involved with artwork before?
No, I didn't do much on the painting. I just did the outline because I didn't want to do much. And Peter Farmer, he's a good drawer. He showed me how to do things, but I couldn't do the animals and the kangaroos and stuff. I couldn't work that out. So he gave me work to do. So I just did the outlining, and that was good.
And I think that was a great thing about it as well. You could be as involved or sort of behind the scenes and doing other stuff with it as well. But I think it was all that team effort of working together that made it come together as well as it did, hey?
Yeah.
Jolene, tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm from Perth. My mum's from Carnarvon. I'm brought up in Perth, lived here all my life. Two boys. And that's about it.
Okay. Now, the really exciting thing for us at the ALS, besides this magnificent mural that's in Perth now, is the fact that since you started the Solid Futures program, you both are now employed by the Aboriginal Legal Service.
Yep.
Jack, you work on our reception.
Yeah.
And been there for what, a month or so now?
This is a 6 week, coming up on the 6 week now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And enjoying it?
Yeah, I am actually. I didn't really know what to do in the first week, and I was thinking about, I don't know, I might move on from this. And then...
Oh, don't say that.
And then when I spent my first week on my own, I found it really good. So I decided, yeah, this might be a good place to stay. There's good people there, nice people, good atmosphere, nice environment. So I thought I'm going to stick around. I might chase a career in this organisation.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's look, at our head office in Perth there's probably over 60 people, so there's a lot of not only staff there but clients who are coming in and using our services every day.
Yeah.
But it's been fantastic, and yeah, great to have you on reception. And Jolene, you're doing some work in the criminal unit?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
I'm still on training.
Yeah.
So doing secretary. It was a bit scary at the start, but getting used to it, that's good.
What do you think has been the best thing out of studying the Solid Futures in terms of what you got out of doing the course? Because it's a big week for you too as well, because you'll be graduating from there tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah. Well, first of all, getting employment out of it. That was the whole point of doing it. And plus, we'll have something that'll back us up on in our resumes and stuff, you know. That paperwork there can fall back on it. Something different for me because I'm used to doing outdoor work. So I thought I'd not as fit as I used to be when I was younger. So I thought I'd try something in the business in the office area. Did that course and I quite like it. It's quite different to being outdoors in that sun.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Especially the last few days,
yeah.
Huh? And sitting in our air conditioning kind of cold.
Yeah.
Jolene, how about you?
I was good. I like meeting new people. That was fun. And it was pretty good at easy.
Yeah, great people.
I thought, yeah. And getting employment at the end of it.
Yeah.
Good.
Are you enjoying the time at the ALS?
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. There's a lot to take on, isn't there?
Yeah.
Brilliant. Jolene, you got someone special listening in today.
Yes, so say hello to my nan and all my sister girls and all the Farrell mob. Hello.
Beautiful. What about you, Jack?
I'd just like to say hello to my six kids and my partner at home and all my family, friends, whoever's listening. I didn't really tell anyone I was going on here because I was a little bit ashamed.
Well, hopefully you guys will come back and have another chat sometime soon. But in the meantime, people can check out more of the Mooditj mural coverage in the Courier Mail, 1st of December edition on page 38. Absolutely beautiful. You guys are in a photo there. Peter Farmer and Miranda Farmer, who did a phenomenal job assisting with that project as well.
Yeah.
And, all great. And some of the mentors and role models are in that photo.
Yeah,
so
the mentors were great. Great people they were, great bunch of people. Got on well with all of them, the teachers. Yeah,
brilliant.
They were great.
Well, brilliant.
Yeah.
And, well, g'day to everyone out at the Solid Futures program and everyone who's graduating tomorrow, all the very best from the Aboriginal Legal Service. We've absolutely loved having an association with everybody during this mural project and wish you all the best and look forward to you two coming across for another yarn one day, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Can I just say thank you to the foundation and all the mentors and everyone that helped?
Yes, thank you too.
Okay. Jolene Farrell and Jack Callion, now working with us at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA and formerly Solid Futures students at the David Wirrapunda Foundation. It's 19 past 11. This is Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA on 6 NME Noongar Radio. And we're going to meet a woman now, Robin Ninyette, who graduated as a lawyer in 1997 and since that time has worked in native title law, criminal law, civil law, and earlier this year was appointed as the Deputy Director of Legal Services at the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. G'day, Robin. How are you going?
Hi, Judy.
A big job, a huge title. That was a newly created position that you took on, what, in the last 12 months?
Yes, that's right. It is a position that's a newly created position, and I think because ALS's legal practice has grown so much over the years, it was seen as a need for providing additional support to the Director of Legal Services, because I think we have about 50 lawyers currently, and so it's quite a reasonable size legal practice, and there are a lot of administration types of things that need to happen to run a legal practice. So a lot of the work that I do is actually supporting the Director of Legal Services in discharging his duties and responsibilities under the legislation and rules, but also just in terms of administration, in terms of, you know, being involved with selection processes for new solicitors and overseeing a lot of supervision of what happens with staff and different job statements and that sort of work.
Big job.
Well, it's a different type of job. I think a lot of the work that happens at ALS is big, but this is just a different type of a role that I'm actually quite enjoying, yeah.
So let's turn the clock back. You finished at UWA Law School in 1997. What made you start your career in law to start off with? What made you sort of think, oh, I'm going to spend the next 6 years studying to become a lawyer?
Well, it probably had a lot to do with my interest. Prior to becoming a lawyer, I had completed a Bachelor of Arts degree that majored in psychology, but a lot of the work that I did post-graduation from my arts degree was research work, so I was involved in quite a lot of different sort of short-term projects. Some of those included development of affirmative action employment strategies for Murdoch University, Curtin University, and a lot of other different research types of projects. And I always found that sort of work where it was varied and you had very sort of, I guess, concrete results that I was very attracted to in the sort of whole interaction with, you know, how laws and public policy come to be and to operate. It's something that I've always been very interested in. So law, in a way, was quite a natural progression for me.
And when did your work with the ALS start?
Well, I started working at the ALS. One of the requirements, once you've graduated from law school, at that time I was required to do a year of what's called articled clerkship. And the idea is that you get exposed to a range of different areas in the law, and so I did work at the National Native Title Tribunal for 6 months. I worked for 3 months at a private law firm doing criminal law, and for the remainder of the three-month period that I was required to finish, ALS picked me up as an article clerk, and it was actually my well, that was my first choice, really, but at the time that I had graduated, they didn't have any positions available. So I actually started work at ALS as an article clerk and then did my restricted practice there. At that time, they had a land and heritage unit. And so there was a lot of work surrounding Native Title, and so I did quite a bit of, I think I was there for about 2 to 3 years working the Native Title section.
Must have seen a lot of changes at the ALS over the last 10 years. It's expanded a lot, hasn't it?
It has. It has. I mean, it's interesting for me because I guess I've had a number of different roles at ALS. When I was working in my very junior years as a solicitor, I did have exposure to different units. And so although I was working in the Land and Heritage section that was primarily doing Native Title work, I also didn't want to be locked into that sort of work so early in my career. So I did work in the Civil section for a while, and that was interesting and new. And then, I don't think I worked in any other section of the ALS at that time, but I did leave for probably a period of 10 years and then came back about 4 years ago also to come back into the civil unit as a solicitor in that section. And I've had a couple of other different roles since then.
I think it's important to remind people as well that there are a whole lot of units within the Aboriginal Legal Service. So you've got 18 offices for the ALS all over Western Australia. Head office is in Perth, but within there is the Criminal Law Unit, the Family Law Unit, the Civil Law Unit, Law and Advocacy. Have I left anyone out?
No,
find out if I have. But that, so all little units sort of, you know, working in their own areas as well. You mentioned you'd been involved in the civil unit, and we'd talked a lot on this program in recent times about the sort of work that civil does and how had taken on the redress WA applications. And, of course, you know, ALS has been in the news recently over the stolen wages issue. There's always issues that need looking at, and it's a lot of work, isn't it?
Yes, it is, but I think one of the reasons that a lot of people are very attracted to work in ALS is that the work is so interesting and it is meaningful. It does make a difference, and so that sort of work is always really appealing to many people. And so you do get, I think that we're very lucky in lots of respects. We get a lot of very motivated and good-hearted people that work at ALS, and I think that's one of the strengths of the organisation.
What can you tell people more about the job that you're doing? I know that it's obvious, it's assisting the Director of Legal Services, Pete Collins, but it's a lot more involved with that, isn't it? Is it the overall structure of the organisation and putting, you know, different practices in place in-house?
Well, in one of the one of the reasons why I was very interested in taking up this role was because it is a new role, I could see that it provides additional scope for us to really think about what sorts of legal services we're going to deliver and how we're going to do them, but looking at building the legal practice so that it's really resilient and that it meets all of our obligations. And ultimately, by focusing on those sorts of things, it means that we can, I guess, deliver consistent services throughout the state and have a bit more of a focus around quality of production of legal services, and also just strengthening the organisation, because it's very easy to just think of a lawyer as you know doing casework or doing court work, but there are a whole range of other things that need to happen to support a lawyer to be able to go about his or her business on a daily basis, and also just running a legal practice. They're the sort of things that I guess I'm interested in. And so I guess it's sort of it gives me an opportunity in consultation with the rest of the senior management team to develop the practice and look at ways that we can improve ALS in terms of its service delivery and aspirations, I guess, future direction.
What would you say, Rob, to people who are just starting out in their career and might think, oh, gee, you know, ALS sounds like an interesting place to work, or perhaps might consider taking on a career within the legal profession? What advice would you have for them, if any?
Well, I mean, there's so many different levels of advice. I think at the end of the day that It probably helps if you know a little bit about it and what it is that you hope to get out of being a lawyer. I also think that I mean, given that, I mean, it's quite intensive. But doing a law degree isn't something that you would do at a whim. It's quite intensive, the study requirements and the commitment requirements. And, you know, it costs money to go to university. So it's something...
Not in the 70s anymore.
Well, that's right. But look, I think the thing... I mean, I think that doing a law degree is a very worthwhile exercise because, frankly, I mean, even if you don't become a lawyer, there are so many other positions and roles that you can take up in the world where a law degree is highly beneficial. You know, just in terms of it provides you with an understanding of public life, how laws are made, how they impact. It gives you a way of seeing the world and... yeah, I think it's a really worthwhile pursuit for people that, you know, are interested in it. But, you know, basically it does require hard work, and as long as you've got some support structures in place, I would highly recommend that Indigenous people consider it as a career path, because I think these days all of the universities that offer law courses, they do have very intensive support provided to Indigenous students, and which is fantastic. So, you know, that has my recommendation.
All right. Well, look, congratulations on being appointed the Deputy Director of Legal Services at the ALS. Maybe just in wrapping up, Robin, you can let us know, as an Aboriginal woman, what motivates you to do what you do?
Well, look, at the end of the day, I mean, it's the sort of thing where, you know, your life has to have some meaning and you spend a lot of time at work. And I've always thought that, you know, I can't change the whole world, but I can make a contribution. And I guess, you know, even if it's one or two things, if you can do that one or two things, you know, do them well, that you've made a contribution. And yeah, I just think, and I also feel very privileged as well, in terms of I feel as though, you know, having a law degree and having a decent education, I just feel like I have something that I have to offer back to the community. And I guess that's why I'll always have an interest in working in an Indigenous area, or if I'm not working directly, by making a contribution of some kind.
Excellent. Hey, listen, thank you for coming across and having a chat with us today on Law Matters, and we look forward to you next time coming across for another chat.
Thanks for that, Jodie.
Robin Ninyet, the Deputy Director of Legal Services at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. This is Law Matters. Jodie Hoffman with you for the rest of our program today, and coming up in a moment, Tamara Gillespie joins us. Tamara's an incarcerated juvenile support worker and works with our young people... Our young people on the inside, and also Lachey Eggington. Now, we'll have a yarn with Lachey because she is just at the beginning of her 6 years of study for her law degree. So we'll have a chat with Lachey as well and see how that's all coming along. Good morning to you. This is the Law Matters program brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia, and really enjoyable getting to meet our staff and introduce them to you, and also talk about the services that are provided by the ALS. And maybe you listen to their show every fortnight and you think, gosh, I could do that, or I wouldn't mind, you know, getting more involved in social justice or taking on a position with the Aboriginal Legal Service. Well, it's people like my next guest that will inspire you, because I think when Lachey Eggington started working with ALS as an office clerk a couple of years ago, it did mark the beginnings of her career within the legal profession. She became a court officer representing our people within the courtroom, and has now embarked upon legal studies and just finished the first year of her law degree at the University of Western Australia. Hey Lachey, welcome to the program.
Hello Jade.
When you think of it like that, I remember your first day at ALS a couple of years ago, and you were doing clerical duties. If you look back then to where you are now, did you have any idea that in the end of 2010 you would have finished year one of your law degree?
No, I had no idea.
Tell us about your own journey within the ALS and starting off as a clerk to doing what you're doing now.
I've always had some sort of connection with the ALS, as you would know, Jode. But yeah, I went in there basically just to do some office work, and ended up having the opportunity to do the court officer training, and I took that, and just from there my life just seems to go down this legal pathway.
Are you enjoying it?
Yes, I'm enjoying it extremely.
I imagine that the training that you did at the ALS to become a court officer, coupled with the fact that you're actually with a Section 48 able to go into court and represent our people within the courtroom as well, has probably been really important in your law degree as well?
Yes, it has. It's it's I've basically gone into my law degree with a basic understanding of how the legal system works and what problems our people face within the legal system itself, and just having access to it.
Tell us how long the law degree is at UWA and what it's like and how you actually got into doing it.
I actually got into it through the pre-law program that they have at UWA. Did that. It's a summertime course. It goes, I think, for about 6 weeks it runs. Very, very intensive studying, but I managed to get through that, and that allowed me to go in and do my Bachelor of Law. It's a four-year course, actually, but it's straight law. You're just studying all law subjects. And I've just finished my first year, and it's been a very hectic year for me.
So you've had exams?
Yes.
How do you think you went?
I'm not too sure. I'm hoping that I'll pass, but I do feel confident that I have, so I'll wait and see. I'll know within a few weeks.
Now, you're also a mum, so you've got to be commended for doing study and being mum.
Yes, yeah. I have two beautiful daughters, and it's been really hard for me, myself, trying to manage working plus studying and having children. But I guess if you persevere and you want to do it, you will do it, and that's what's happened basically with me.
I bet you've met some interesting people doing your course.
But I mean, at the moment there's only two Aboriginal students. It's myself and one other Aboriginal man from, I think he's from up north. I'm not sure whereabouts, but we both made it through our first year, and I'd like to congratulate him as well. His name's Damien, if you're listening, Damien. But yeah, it was interesting to see. We started out a big group of students, and just the fact that there's two of us left. Sorry, it's really interesting to see that. How just the studying itself affects Aboriginal students. It's hard to do.
And was it the first study that you'd taken on?
No, I've got an associate degree in Indigenous mental health. I did that at Curtin University. That's where I basically started my studying, and I didn't work in the health field or anything like that there, but I just did it really. I did it just to sort of get myself onto that track of educating myself and bettering myself, and yeah, I've somehow fallen into studying law.
And it's always such a different world, isn't it? When you walk into a university or TAFE for the first time, you think, oh, it's so much different from anything you've done before. But it doesn't actually take that long to lock into the vibe of it and sort of. That different way of working and thinking, hey?
Yeah, it is. I won't lie to you, it is difficult, but more so as an Indigenous student. But yeah, you do. You manage to adapt, and that's how you get through it, really.
So you've got 1 year down, 3 to go.
Yeah.
What do you like best about the path that you've chosen to travel in terms of not only working with the Aboriginal Legal Service, but now going over to UWA and combining your work with studying for your law degree? What's your long-term future of where you want that to take you?
To be quite honest, I'm not really sure of where I want to go, but the reason that I like what I do and I've chosen this as my career path is that it empowers me. As an Aboriginal woman, I feel privileged myself being able to do this, and I do it for my daughters as well. I want my daughters to know that that they can do all these things themselves, and basically it's being able to empower myself, knowing the law, knowing how the law affects every single part of life. You may not realise it, but it does. You know, from the moment you walk out of your house, somehow law governs something, but yeah.
And you must have noticed in yourself through being a court officer, Shay, the difference that it makes to clients who need our representation when they see another Aboriginal person who says, hey, look, I'm here to assist you today.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a real bonus with the job and what I'm studying as well, is being an Aboriginal person and being able to represent my people and understanding them, understanding their needs and what, you know, and how this affects them as well. I think that's the big bonus at the end of the day.
Lachey, what's important to you as an Aboriginal woman?
Well, to be honest, my children are important to me. If that's my first answer. But also education, I think, is really important. I've always been told basically that education is very important, and that's how it is for me as well. And I want my children to see that. I want my children to grow up knowing that they can access all the stuff that I've got access to. They've got access to it as well. So yeah, education would be the most important thing.
Well, you're a fantastic role model, not only to your kids, but to a whole lot of us. And good luck with the rest of your law degree and your work at the ALS. And we've got our fingers crossed because exam results are hopefully not too far away in the mail, hey?
Hopefully, yeah.
And I guess there's so many people listening who've sort of done exams this year and are waiting, you know, checking the letterbox every day. The results here. So we wish you well. And you'll be coming across a fair bit to have a yarn with us on the program as well, won't you?
Yes, I will, Jade, yep.
See, I like that on-air commitment. Thanks, Lachey. Lachey Eggington from the Aboriginal Legal Service, thank you for joining us. It is 12 minutes away from 12 o'clock here on Law Matters. Lachey talking about two of the biggest influences in her life being our children, and it is really important to remember that it is our children that are our future. We need to be there for them and support them, and that's exactly what my next guest does. Through the prison system, some of our young people get caught up and incarcerated, and Tamara Gillespie takes on the role of incarcerated juvenile support worker and regularly visits our young people within the prison systems or the detention centres to provide that support. Hi Tamara, how are you going?
Hello Judy.
Welcome to the program. First time on Law Matters?
Yes.
Well, we appreciate you coming along. Your position, Tamara, was a pretty recent position with the Aboriginal Legal Service when the Law and Advocacy Unit expanded some time back, and it's fantastic that there's now more support on the inside for our young people. How long have you been with the ALS?
Okay, I've only been working for about 4 months with the ALS, but I feel that I'm in the right role. After working for 21 years of my life, I'm actually excelling all my skills in this particular role, and I feel I can help in so many different areas.
Now, you're passionate about working with our young people and you see where there needs to be more support within the detention centres. Tell us what the role of your position actually is as a juvenile support worker.
Okay, what I am finding my role to be is a lot of different things. Okay, what I made up first was case plans for the kids. So when they walk out, they're sitting in lockdown, they're doing not much, and the first thing I thought of is they need a case plan. So I negotiate a case plan with the kids, so it's 1 or 2 years, depending on how advanced and what they're thinking. But they all have goals. They all know what they want to do. So that's one of the main things that I do. There's a lot of prison and police complaints, unfortunately, that has been occurring. It's pretty sad to see the kids just going to court and being incarcerated. I wish there was a better way that they could be just, you know, the justice system could be a bit better for the kids.
What ages are you working with, Tamara?
At the moment, it's been between 14 to 17. I've mostly found 14 to 17. There's been a lot of different issues. It can be family issues, and I could come across pregnancy. There's just anything that could come up. What I find I'm doing is covering the grey area where we've got our prison support workers on site. So my job is restricted to official visits. I try to get out there once a week, if not definitely once a fortnight, to see them. But, basically I find that I'm covering the grey area where the juvenile might not want to speak up at that particular point to that particular person, but at ALS they find that they've got the support and they do speak up a lot more to me. Maybe get a bit of brief counselling, but they always need to hear a friendly voice on the end of the phone. So just a phone call a week, once a week, helps a lot as well.
Yeah, and there's a huge overrepresentation of our young people who are in detention, isn't there? Overrepresentation. There's a lot of Aboriginal people who are incarcerated.
Oh, there is.
If you look
definitely
at the stats, and the reports just keep coming out going, you know, the young people make up this amount of the population. However, you know, at times I've heard figures in the 80% of people who are Aboriginal who are locked up.
Unfortunately, Unfortunately, it's increasing, and you are correct, Jodie. It's very high numbers. We look at the numbers, say, once a month as a group and just see where we're at. But, basically, I'm working with a human rights solicitor at the moment with a PCYC club. So we're hoping to get some workshops out there to the reoffending kids so that we can help them work with the police, not sort of get attacked by the police as what's going on.
Yeah.
So if we can work out the reactive ways and how to respond, and get the kids knowing the most professional, you know, what's going on basically professionally as much as they should at 15 years old.
Yeah. What centres are you actually visiting in Perth?
We go to just the PCYC. We've been once, myself and Sarani, our colleague, a solicitor. She's a human rights solicitor, and we were hoping to start the workshops up next month. Yeah, December today, aren't we? So, yeah, January next month.
Yeah. The juvenile detention centres you're visiting regularly?
Oh, it'll be Rangeview and Banshire. Mainly Rangeview. I go out with Kenny as well.
Yep. Visiting the males and the females?
Oh, females, yeah. You know, I cover both, both males and females for the whole of WA. You know, I might need support from a kid who's come from Geraldton, just for instance. He's got absolutely nobody else down here. And just that support from our law and advocacy unit, which is where I'm from, that makes such a big deal, much big difference.
Tell us, Tamara, like, paint a picture in our heads of you actually arrive at the detention centre and you could be seeing maybe, what, half a dozen people in one visit?
Usually it's two or three, because at the moment my caseload is half a dozen.
Yep.
It's six at the moment. It can go up to, say, 15. It just depends on who needs the help.
I imagine the stuff that the young people need to talk about could be a whole range of things.
Oh, it's a lot of different things. Like I mentioned, it could be pregnancy, it could be family issues, it could be the deposit of the case plans, could be educational. I make sure that they're linked up straight away with their education and that follows through. A lot of Indigenous kids, when they're up north and what have you, they're going through separate organisations to get their schooling done. So that needs to carry through when they come down here. And that's part of my role, is to support them and to make sure that they survive their incarceration, basically.
That's pretty hard when you think of it, isn't it, that you've actually, you've got kids here from out of country as well, which means that family support's not there.
It's not there, no. I was a youth worker in Meekatharra when I lived in Meekatharra for 6 years, so I think that those skills helped, and like I mentioned, I've done quite a few different roles, and I'm bringing all those into place from every which way, if you can hear what I'm saying. But working with the Yamagis in Meekatharra, hello everybody, it's helped a lot to understand the region, what's going on.
Hopefully they're live streaming us on Noongar Radio, which you can do if you just go to the Noongar Radio website. You can listen in via live streaming. What do you like best about what you do, Tamara?
It's just the passion every day that I wake up and the thrive to help. I don't have any children myself, so I help as much as I can in every way. The kids, I think they think I'm a little bit older than them, rather than 20 years older than them. But I just love to help, and they're our future. You know, if we don't get them off on the right track, and I'm in such a primary role where I can speak to them one-on-one, do up the plans with them, negotiate it with them, which means they're doing up their own plan. I'm just supporting along the side and drawing it up for them in a professional manner. Basically, that's my main goal, is that I know that I can make a difference because they are in an isolated position, and it is a one-on-one role that I can perform with them.
So how do people get that support? Is it through referrals through the detention centre, or are you approached by families on the outside?
Okay.
How does it work?
We haven't done much promotion. This would be the first promoting I've done personally. But I do go to the children's court as often as I can and hand out my cards, let the parents know about what I do, that I am there, to cover the grey areas. You've got your PSOs, the prison support workers on grounds. But just to let them know if they do get incarcerated that I am there. So that's one type of promotion. I'm finding when I go out on the community events with Wendy, she's our community liaison officer, everybody's knowing about us. They are finding out. We do have that black grapevine out there, so they are finding out about us.
It always works.
Yeah, it always works. They're coming up to, the last one, Wadanji down at Fremantle.
Yes.
Yeah, they came up to us. It was pretty full on. Yeah.
It's a really important job, and well done on the great job that you're doing with it. Just in wrapping up, Tamara, let's summarise for our listeners how your role as a juvenile support officer can assist for our young people on the inside.
Okay, so why it's so very important for the support to be there? Okay, what I've found with the young people on the inside is they seem to be very bored, and stability seems to be the key words. So most of the time when they're in lockdown, like I mentioned before, they're already bored. That's why, unfortunately, the crime is committed. So when there's no stability around, the lingering starts to happen, and then the gangs start to form, and then the crime happens. So I believe most of the time the youth don't plan to commit a crime. Okay, they're kids, you know, they need to be having fun, basically. But I hope to extend my role out to grasp the exact purpose and reasons that why the reoffending is occurring. So I've linked up with the prime organisations, and I've got really strong links with those. Just say ADS, Yorgum, Aboriginal, Yorgum Aboriginal Counselling Service, and basically getting ready to work out how we can stop this reoffending before it occurs. So, that's what I'm hoping to get a hold of. We're getting there. I always look at everything from a psychological angle, and hopefully we can beat the system and the kids can be kids, basically.
Yeah, pretty important that there is that support for our young people on the inside and the outside. I reckon it'd be pretty tough being a kid these days, and a lot of support is needed, hey?
Yeah, well, they're ready. They're like they're adults, in the cell, so I treat them with the respect that they give me.
Tamara Gillespie, thank you for joining us. It's time for us to wrap up Law Matters for another fortnight. Thank you for your company. If you want to know anything more about anything you've heard on the program today, free call us from anywhere in WA on 1800 019 900. 1800 019 900. From me, Jodie Hoffman, thank you for your company. We look forward to it again next fortnight.